and welcome to the Gaming Gang Extra featuring Vulcan Raw. This is Elliot Miller, and today I'm talking to Jeff McAleer about his thoughts on this past weekend's Vulcan convention in Phoenix, Arizona. Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine. Why are you treating me as if I'm some special guest on your program, sir?
I don't know. I was just being a goof.
Yeah, as usual. That's fine. I'm joined by Jeff McAleer from the Gaming Gang, and I represent the Gaming Gang as well. So I'm fine. I'm good. I just got back in from the Vulcan convention that was being held here in Phoenix, Arizona the past 2 days.
And boy, are your arms tired.
I didn't fly in. I live in Mesa, Arizona. It's a half hour drive.
Okay, fine.
Have you been drinking wine again?
Actually, lemon water. I don't know.
Oh, man. Worse than wine. It's fermented lemon water. Yes, I got in about 2 hours ago, and I was going to just write a quick article about the show, and then we were chatting a little bit, and we decided, hey, you know what? I've got some interviews that are going to be coming up from different companies that I spoke to at Vulcan, and we decided, hey, well, why not just do an edition of an extra, and we'll just discuss what was going on at Vulcan. Unfortunately, Elliot did not make it out to the convention.
It's true, I did not.
Because you're just mean.
Sorry, man.
He was afraid my two cats would eat him while he slept.
They can be vicious, I'm telling you.
Okay, here's something very bizarre, and I'll quickly go off on a side note here, and then we'll get back to the topic at hand. But our listeners already know we're famous for little sidetracks. I was told that, as weird as this may sound, if you were to say pass away in your own home, your dog will not eat you no matter how hungry that dog gets.
What?
Now, I'm just saying, this is what I heard. And as a cat owner, I'm going to address this. But I was told that supposedly, if you were to pass away, your dog will not eat its master, no matter how hungry that dog would get. Cats, on the other hand, if you were to die and there's no food for them, they will eat you. Now, I do know that is a fact, because people have passed away, and I've heard stories about cats dining on them. Well, they're animals. I wouldn't expect anything less. Plus, I would be dead, so I don't think it would really matter all that much if the cats decided they needed to eat me. What I don't believe is, I do not believe that a dog, regardless of how hungry it would be, would not eat a human being who had died. They're animals as well.
I have to tell you, I believe my animals would eat me now if they had the opportunity. Tell you the truth.
Because they don't like you.
Exactly. They don't like anybody.
They don't look at you as their master, probably.
I don't know. I think they're just
evil.
You're
just the guy who they irritate the hell out of and feeds them, yes.
I feed them. So they're very kindly to me, but they're really a pain in the ass.
I don't know the new dog you got. I know the dog you've had for a few years, and the dog is all right. It's just a goofball dog.
Right.
Honestly, I think you were alone in your home, and everybody was gone for a month, and something happened to you. I think those dogs would eat you.
So anyway, Vulcan.
Yes.
So it started, what, was it Friday?
No, it began Saturday. It was at the Phoenix Convention Center. It was Saturday from 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. And then today it was, I believe it was also once again from 9 a.m., but it was over at 5.
Right. And we've gone to quite a few conventions by now.
Mm-hmm. Big and small.
Yes. So what were your thoughts when you got to Vulcan?
Well, I'll be very upfront, very honest. I think everybody expects that from us. The first thing that I thought was, I expected a bigger turnout.
Yeah.
This is the fifth largest metropolitan area in the U.S., and there isn't a major gaming convention here. Now, they have comic book conventions that have gaming areas, and they have steampunk conventions and things along those lines, but no real dedicated gaming convention. I guess they haven't for a few years.
Yeah.
So I did expect a bigger turnout than what I did see. And yesterday I thought to myself, now, and I'll be the first to point out that Vulcan, they did advertise with us on the Gaming Gang website, but honestly, I think they probably could have marketed the convention a bit better. And one thing to point out, you know, they started releasing videos on Facebook about various aspects of Vulcan, but they really didn't start releasing those on Facebook until about the past week. I thought, well, you know, that's kind of hurt it. So overall, I think a little better marketing would have had a better turnout. So I think that overall, that was the main issue that was affecting the attendance of the convention.
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought yesterday. I do have interviews with, of course, our friend Alan Emmerich from Victory Point Games was there, and he was with one of the designers for VPG. Nathan Hansen was along. Of course, I interviewed Alan. As always, it's always a pleasure to sit down and chat with Alan. And I did get to play Battle of Four Armies against Nathan. And I did get to playtest, I guess we would say, the new expansion that's coming for Star Borders. Okay. And I have to say, Battle of Four Armies is a very, very basic game. It's for 2 to 4 players. No doubt it plays much better. The design really probably shines with 4 players, probably 3. It's a 2-player game. It was okay. The expansion coming out for Star Borders, and unfortunately, it doesn't jump right in my head what the title is going to be, really bumps up Star Borders a lot. Star Borders is pretty much kind of a beginning game, kind of a basic war game, space theme. This adds some new wrinkles into it. I really liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really had a good time playing it. And it had been about at least a year since I had played Star Borders. So, of course, nothing came right back to me right away.
Right.
And then, of course, I'm sitting there and there's some new wrinkles and things like that. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, is my memory that bad? Because I don't remember this in Star Borders. So I was asking, and they're like, oh, no, this is new. So it's going to be sort of an intermediate game. So I'm really looking forward to when that comes out, that expansion. I believe I don't have an exact date. I'm going to have some more info about it from Victory Point Games. But that's probably maybe a month, month and a half out is going to be my guess. So with the interview with Alan, there's a lot of updates on what they've been working on, what's coming out. We talk about a few things that are in the future for VPG2. So it's a fun interview, as always, with Alan. I also had the opportunity to sit down with a fairly new company, Crash Games, and they're local. And I did an interview with Patrick Nickel and Michael Coe.
Uh-huh.
And their game, it was a Kickstarter game that will be arriving in stores in July. Called Rise. And then they have a couple of other titles that we go into a bit more detail about. I did take some time to do an interview with Darren Johnson, who owns Imperial Outpost Games, which is located in Glendale, Arizona, that I had gone out a few months ago. It was late last year, and they had one of the arena days leading up to Vulcan at his game store. And I really liked the store, and I liked the folks there. And I did a bit of an interview with him because I think a lot of people aren't familiar what it takes to own a game store, to run a game store. They think it's probably just Nirvana. So we talk about that. Another interesting interview. And then I had a chance to sit down and talk with Todd Van Hooser, who is an author. He's behind the Laughing Moon Chronicles novel and the role-playing game. And they also have the website Laughing Moon Girls. And I know the role-playing game is very popular here in the Valley. I don't think it's getting a lot of play yet outside this area, simply because it's a newer game. It's interesting. You'll want to hear the interview that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a review of it soon as well, because I do have a copy now of the game. But pretty interesting stuff. And it sounds like Todd is kind of a role player after our own hearts. So that's going to be pretty cool, too. So I just want to point out that's going to be coming up. There was quite a lot of gaming going on. There were probably, all in all, about 20 exhibitors there.
Okay.
Just hung around. I didn't really get to play a whole lot, which is nothing unusual for me at a convention.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
Right. I would say when I got there today, I'm going to take a guess in the period of time, because I was there yesterday. I'm saying yesterday, today. I was there Saturday from about 8:30 to get my badge and everything, and I was there till a little after 5. Because I was running on empty. Today, I got there at about 9:30, and I was there until it was over. In fact, a little past that point in time as well. They had all different stuff going on. They had a lot of Dust Tactics, a lot of the Laughing Moon role-playing game going on. As I mentioned, it's got a good following here in the Valley. I saw more people playing that than I did Pathfinder or D&D or any other RPG.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. We chatted about that a little bit. I found out something, and it sticks in my craw. I'm going to mention it with yourself. Here I was thinking, okay, a lot of the reason why the attendance wasn't what I thought it would be, because I would say probably from what I saw Saturday, 300, 400 people. show up. And then today numbers were lower than that. I don't have official numbers. I don't know. I didn't talk to Jay and Rick about it. So I thought, I guess it probably has to do with some of the marketing. And of course, we've discussed previously that some of the gamers out here are cliquish.
Yeah.
And then I found out that there are about 5 game stores here in the Phoenix Valley. I would say are dedicated game stores. Right. There are comic book stores that carry games, but there's about 5 that I really would consider are gaming stores. And one of them is more of mainly just miniatures. I mean, there's actually a Games Workshop store in North Scottsdale, but of course that's just going to be Games Workshop stuff. So I don't really count that as a gaming store because it's just Games Workshop
stuff. I agree.
And I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying that's all they carry. So if you're looking for a Games Workshop store, boom, there it is, but it's not really a game store.
Yeah.
Well, I find out that a couple of the game stores here were actually working against the convention.
What do you mean?
I'm not naming any names or anything like that. Obviously, it wasn't Imperial Outpost because they were there.
Right.
And I interviewed Darren, but there were 2 stores that, number one, they would not allow anyone to put up any sort of advertising for the convention in their stores. No posters, nothing.
What?
Yeah. As far as they were concerned, this convention did not exist. Now, it's important for me to point out, this was not a game store sponsored game day or game weekend. You know how you'll see game stores have that kind of stuff?
Hell yeah.
They were not officially tied into any game store whatsoever.
Okay.
But these 2 stores decided that they would not allow any kind of advertising about the convention. It almost sounds as if they were banning talk about the conventions in their stores.
What sense does that make?
It makes none. I don't know what store exactly did this, but I was also told, and this was, people were telling me this. This wasn't, I went and talked to Jay and Rick about this, the 2 gentlemen who put together the convention. Gamers were telling me this. People I was talking to were telling me this. One of the stores was specifically telling their customers, well, why pay $50 to go to Vulcan to play XYZ game? Come here, you can play it for free. How does that help the hobby?
I'm not exactly sure.
I've heard there's a store in the Valley that if you were to walk in there with a shirt, let's say one of the other game stores, we'll use, let's say, Imperial Outpost as an example. Maybe they sponsored a show that happened here. Maybe it was like a Phoenix Comic Con or a steampunk convention, whatever. Maybe they were a sponsor and their sponsorship is on your t-shirt that you got at that show.
Uh-huh.
If you were to walk into this game store, they will kindly provide you with a piece of electrical tape for you to put on your shirt to cover
what?
That game store. Yes.
Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
No, I am dead serious.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'm gonna do that.
So to paraphrase what you would normally say, man, that's effed up. Well, actually, not paraphrasing. That's exactly what you would say. Yeah, that is effed up. I really don't get it. I could see if it was a game day from another store. They were running the whole show. It's at the store or at a hall. Or, I mean, we've been at conventions that were in church basements and community centers and everything else, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Could I see something like that? Well, no, we don't want to promote that. It's promoting your store. You're right. Okay, maybe I understand that. But something that is supposed to be all-encompassing, it's for the Phoenix Valley. It's for the state of Arizona, and it's also hopefully surrounding states to get people to come because you're promoting the hobby, for you to actually sit there and not only to be just vindictive enough to do something like that, to tell people, well, why would you pay $50 to go play this game? Play it here for free. They're afraid that somehow they're going to lose out on a nickel of their customers' money because maybe they buy something at another convention, or maybe they go to the convention and they find out, wow, you know, I was talking to the guys from this store. I like these guys a lot better. And wow, yeah. Yeah. See, that's what they're afraid of. That's why they would do something like that.
Well, not only does it not sound like a good way to promote the hobby, it doesn't really sound like a good way to promote your own store either. I mean, how many people are going to, how long are they going to put up with that kind of treatment in the store before they start to wise up?
Well, I understand out here that people have a lot of loyalty to their game store, and I like to hear that. All the friendly local game stores all around the country, they need as much support as they can because nobody's getting rich running a game store. Let's be honest. Anybody thinks that the guy down the street who runs your local game store is raking in the bucks, they're nuts, because that's not happening, especially when you've got a lot of online retailers who can undercut them in price. As a game store owner, you have to be able to offer community and interesting events and friendly service and all that kind of stuff to really be able to survive, especially in this economic environment that we have.
Yeah.
I just think being the kind of person that is telling people don't go to a convention, play a game here, is a big disservice to the hobby, but it's also stupid for your own business.
Right.
Yes, granted, if I just went to a convention to play a particular game, I wouldn't go to a convention, because why would I go to a convention when I can sit around with my buddies and play the game that we normally love to play, right?
Uh-huh, exactly.
Part of going to a convention is to expose yourself to new games that you've never heard of before, or you've heard of them, you don't know anyone who plays them, but you've been dying to try it out.
Right. And plus, so to meet new people to play with.
See, but that's something that, now I'm not saying it's every gamer out here, but I did discuss this with some of the retailers that were there, and they did say that, yes, it is a little unusual here in Arizona that it's very cliquish with some of the gamers and that, and some of them are not very welcoming to new players and so forth. I'm not saying all of them, but it does exist. I'm guessing that probably exists everywhere. We just didn't run across that in Chicago. I guess we were probably lucky in that respect.
I guess.
To me, it doesn't make sense business-wise, because you already have this contingency who comes to your store. They're fans of your store. They're your customers. They go to your store to buy. They go to a convention. They get to try a game they've never played before, they want to play, and they really enjoy it. Where are they going to buy it? They're not buying it at the convention, probably. They're probably not going to get it at the convention. If they know that your store carries it, or they know that you can order it for them, they will order it from your store because they are loyal customers of yours.
That's true.
So that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
No, you're right. I don't know what kind of business plan that would actually fit into.
It's someone very short-sighted, and someone who obviously is not in the business because of the love of the hobby. They're in the business, no doubt, to squeeze every nickel they possibly can. That's the only thing I could possibly think of, because there's no way in my mind that I think boycotting a convention makes any sort of sense. That'd be like saying, I have my own game store and it's in Indianapolis, and I sell a lot of Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder, but I'm going to tell my customers, why are you going to pay $70, $80 to go to Gen Con to play Pathfinder? You can play Pathfinder here for free. How stupid is that? Or I have a board game store. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, but I tell my customers, don't go to Origins. You can play your favorite game here free.
Mm-hmm.
It's asinine. It really is. And the more I heard this from people, the more it started to sink in that I believe Vulcan could have been marketed better, but with these people working against you, 40% of the stores in the valley were actually trying to undermine you. I could see that having an effect on the attendance of your convention.
Yeah.
I guess it shouldn't bug me as much as it does, because I have no dog in this fight. We're not affiliated with any kind of game store or anything like that.
Right.
Sure, we have advertisers on the website, but outside of that, no. It's not like we tell people, oh, you got to go buy your stuff at this store. And it's not as if we say, here's the link to go buy XYZ game that we've reviewed at this store. We don't have that kind of affiliation with anybody. So if one store does well and another store doesn't do well, honestly, it doesn't really matter all that much to us, except for the fact that it's too bad that a store doesn't do well, because it's not good for the hobby. What I think really upset me about the whole thing, and I'm sure people are going to go, wow, Jeff's doing one of his rants again.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, we're opinionated. That's who we are. Game stores that do that kind of stuff, they stand opposed to everything that we're about, you and I.
Right. It's not a personal affront. It's more of an emotional affront.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not doing it to personally make me mad.
Yeah.
Of course not.
I was going to say, it's against the whole purpose of trying to develop the hobby. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a huge hobby.
No, people don't realize just how small. I'm sure a lot of people do, but there are quite a few gamers who don't realize how small the hobby is. You know, they really don't.
And a convention can bring in people, and I'm sure you were happy to be able to attend a convention in the Phoenix Valley when there's so few gaming events going on there. So you want it to do well. So, yeah, and I'm sure other gamers would feel the same way. Hey, we would like to have a Gen Con out in Phoenix. It's a fun time. Everybody gets together, games.
Well, you can't have a Gen Con. You can't have an Origins. You can't have those kind of shows with that kind of size without starting somewhere. Gen Con 40 years ago didn't pull in 140,000 people.
Nope.
And when you and I were going to Gen Con in Milwaukee, it wasn't pulling in probably 50,000 people.
No, I don't think so.
Some shows probably pulled in, we're going way back, like 20,000 when we started going to Gen Con.
Yeah.
You have to start somewhere. But the thing is, if you have people working against you, what are the chances that there's going to be a second Volcon?
Right, exactly. Which would be a shame.
Which would be a huge shame.
Yeah.
It's a terrible shame because the folks who worked on putting together that convention, they invested a lot of their time, their energy, a lot of hard work to make it as successful as they possibly could for the good of the hobby,
mm-hmm.
not for the good of a particular store. It'd be one thing if you just ignored the convention, whatever, fine. But to sit there and tell your customers, because it was customers telling me this, that they had been told that.
Hmm.
This wasn't just a rumor that somebody threw out there. They were telling me that, yeah, they were told by Blah Store, don't go to Volcon.
Now, that is messed up.
That's very messed up. Yes, I'm sorry. It was going to be more about, hey, so what was going on at Volcon? And I throw this out. But like I said, these are the kind of behind the scene things that people aren't aware of unless they're made aware of it.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what we're here for.
Yes, we're here to stir the pot, I guess, so right. to say. We're not here to do that, but no, we don't no. skirt controversy. We don't have any issues voicing our opinions. And if you don't like it, whatever. It's our opinion, so be it.
That's right. So overall, you had a good time?
I had fun, yeah. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of gaming. Did talk to a lot of people. I got some interviews in, went running around taking some photos and stuff like that. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I did. I had a good time. And at the end of the day, I think that's the important thing, is do you enjoy yourself when you go to a convention?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you learn something new? Do you see some new stuff? Do you get to meet new people? If the answer to that is yes, then you should have a pretty good time.
Mm-hmm. Do they have a good hamburger place?
That was kind of a weird thing because it's downtown, and downtown has quite a few different places. But usually if there's no game going on, because the convention center is right over by the ballpark and the basketball arena,
mm-hmm.
there's no game or event going on, a lot of the places are closed. So it was kind of a choice of, well, you could eat like the convention concessions or wait till leave and go have like a real meal that doesn't cost you $30. So that's what I did. I just waited till I left.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of a $9 hamburger at a convention center. So.
No, that would be at any convention center.
For anything. Doesn't matter if it's gaming or what.
Right, but, exactly.
But yeah, I had a good time. I would take guess that the vast majority of people who came who were there to do some gaming had a good time. Probably people who went because they were expecting a huge turnout of a bunch of companies that they had never seen their games before. Maybe they'd have been disappointed, but for the first time out, I think they did really well. You and I have been to conventions where they had two exhibitors or one exhibitor
yes.
who's a local retailer or none.
Yes, I know.
So I'll tell you one thing I think would probably be a good idea for the next Volcon, if they do it in more than a day and a half, if they were to do, say, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
mm-hmm.
have an auction.
Oh, yeah. Those are always pretty popular.
They are very, very popular, and they are a lot of fun. Remember when we were at Origins last year, their auction was only like one day or part of the one day.
Yeah, we missed it.
A lot of people were kind of upset that it was only a very short auction that they did because they were used to having a big, long auction. Like Gen Con, gosh, that auction runs from pretty much the moment you walk in there until the moment you leave on Sunday, that auction's going.
I know.
And it's a blast.
Yeah, it was. Whenever we had downtime, we'd just go in there and sit for a while.
I love the fact, especially when they start bringing out like the classic games, and it'll be stuff that we had, but we haven't seen for 25, 30 years. And you're like, oh my gosh, I remember that game. Or, oh, I heard about that game. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that they put together some kind of an auction, even if they only had the auction off in a side room and they did it for a few hours or something. I think that would be very popular as well. I thought the gang did a really nice job with Volcon, and sure, attendance could have been bigger, but it's the first time out. They had a Roman theme, and I got to say, what's the saying, right? Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither will the Volcon convention.
We're all looking forward to hearing the interviews that you had from the convention hall, and those will show up as Gaming Gang extras in the next couple of days.
Yep, I should start popping them up.
All right, well, I think it's time we could wrap this one up.
Well, Elliot, thanks for having me on your show.
No problem, man. The check's in the mail.
I'll be looking forward to your edition of The Daily Dope on Monday. I sure do like that show. Oh, and by the way, I'll be hosting it on Tuesday. So.
It's true.
All right, buddy. We got a show coming up this weekend.
Yes, we do.
A week from Monday. So we will be back in front of the mics then.
Yep. Sayonara, everyone.